chapter 19, verse 21. Let's stand together. We'll read this together. And all right, Proverbs 19 and verse 21. I'll read it and then just follow along, please. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What a good verse. That's an exciting verse right there. All right, let's pray together, please. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for tonight. We do need your help. I do need your strength. I pray that you'd fill me with thy spirit to be a blessing. This is all about you. And everybody here is important. We all matter to you, and I pray that the word would minister to our hearts as you see fit. Thank you for the Bible. Please meet with us in a special way these minutes we have together for the rest of the evening here. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. I hope you love the Bible. I hope that you are developing a relationship with the Bible. It's my most prized possession on this earth. My concentrated Bible time is early in the morning at a time that I don't choose it to be. You know, at Bible college, sometimes people thought they were a little bit more spiritual if they got up early and were a little bit, you know, they said, I got up at, you know, 2 and 3 and 4, and, well, I got up at 7 and read my Bible, or 6 or whatever it was, and it's kind of foolish there. You know, your body needs sleep, but for the time being, my Bible time is from about 2:30 to 3 a.m. right now with the FedEx schedule and so forth, but I really cherish it, and I set my little night light out on the kitchen table. I got my routine down and tiptoe through, because you don't want to make the furniture creak, because if the baby wakes up, the domino effect happens, everybody's up. There goes my quiet time for the day, and I love it. I set my glasses case out. I get my wallet ready for FedEx. I got everything in line, and I put my little nightlight over the Bible, and the light just shines on the Bible. The whole house is dark. Get a cup of coffee, and it's just quiet for a while. And that's a special time. So I hope you are developing a heart for the Bible. And I've learned that you can't wait for a desire to happen. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You read the life of Josiah in 2 Kings, he did some things, and some hard action followed. So you, as you start this year, and as maybe you might sit down for your Bible time, and you may have different emotions hit, follow through with what's a principled decision and read your Bible and let God take care of the rest. But we'll get into this here. Anyway, having said that, in one of my Bible times recently, I came across this verse. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I love the absolutes of the Bible. I love absolutes. I love it. Just as nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What a verse that speaks of security. And the word device there is an interesting word. It means an imagination, an invented thought. It's a conclusion of your mind. It's a final thought. And I really was attracted to that, because I know in my mind there are some things that I've gone through in my life that would be defined as this word device. And yet, if that device doesn't line up with the counsel of the Lord, there's a problem, because the counsel of the Lord shall stand, and that's right, and I need to hold to that. So this is very interesting to me, because the Bible talks about the heart of man in Matthew, when Jesus said, out of the heart proceed, you know, evil thoughts, murder, so on and so forth. In Jeremiah, we know that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Evil and so on and so forth. He that trusteth in his heart is a fool. So I was attracted to this verse for those reasons, and I looked up this word, and I thought that was an interesting definition. It was a final thought, a conclusion of my mind. So as we get on this subject here a little bit, let me just try to explain some things here about this concept. So as we go through life, our human nature and personal experience can cause us to form these devices and to live by them. So I go through life, you go through life, and certain things happen to me. My human nature can come up with some things, and my interpretation of how life should be. Think of this. A child learns conclusions about marriage based on what he sees his parents do. Yeah, that's an interesting concept. It's a real life thing. A child grows up and he looks up to these people called mom and dad, and they have what is called a marriage or a living arrangement of some sort, biblical or unbiblical here. The parents could be, you know, Christians or not Christian. And so a child learns and grows up and he experiences some things and perhaps goes through some experiences. They're not godly or kind in that home, or maybe experiences some things that are not favorable. Or on the other hand, and learns how a marriage could be and goes forward. But he is observing, she is observing and watching this interaction between husband and wife, man and woman, and drawing some conclusions. A couple tries to train a child and take him into adulthood. Okay, what's their basis? Okay, so here's some parents, let's say, trying to teach and train and a child as and prepare them for the world, or neglect them and just hope that they make it. And they're trying to follow some things, perhaps some devices of their heart. Maybe they're looking back on their life and say, well, my parents did this, so this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, we meet people at jobs, at school, and in different places, and they have a background. And you learn people and you make friends, obviously, you know, this is just normal life. You make connections. We call those people friends. We have some common bonds. And then you learn some sad stories. You learn some exciting stories. Some people have money. Some people don't. But people have all these different things coming from all different directions that cause them to have these devices or these final thoughts about what life is about, what eternity is about, how to handle relationships, how to deal with grief, but that they can be described as devices inside of a man's heart. A final conclusion on, well, when heartache comes, this is what I do. It's just what I've always done. Well, I run off and do this, and it just helps me. I gotta get it. Well, if it doesn't line up with the counsel of the Lord, then there's a problem. So think about somebody who has done something and has perhaps gone to school and has been trained and taught in a mindset of how to deal with a particular profession and how to deal with people in a particular way, and it's totally contrary to the Bible. And it's just been ingrained in them, and it's just been ingrained inside of them. And they go forward relying on that device or final thought or imagination or concept based on their experience and their human understanding of how it needs to be. Well, when it gets tough, I just leave. Okay, well, the Bible says, Jesus, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So as a Christian, I need to follow that pattern. Well, marriage is hard, and if I don't like it, and if she doesn't please me, and it just doesn't go, we're not operating on my device. But it wasn't what I thought. I thought it would be, all due respect, it's irrelevant. What does the counsel of the Lord say? But I don't like that. Well, get in your Bible and cry your heart out to God and help him change your heart. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. As a husband, everything gets submitted to, well, then I want to act out on my wife what he acts out on me. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the counsel of the Lord. But your emotions may go through some different things. I understand that. Let God take you from a child of the devil to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay, I know I'm going to heaven, but this breakdown, internal breakdown, only to be built up in the counsel of the Lord, might take some time. The gospel itself, totally contrary to human nature. Makes sense humanly to be religious, go to church, do good deeds. I don't do these things, I do these things, so hopefully God, oh, I hope so. Okay, does it line up with the counsel of the Lord? God says you're a sinner. You have to slow down long enough and think about that long enough to make it personal and realize that you've offended God by your nature. I'm naturally a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was thinking about that verse. We all by nature like to take the glory for ourselves. It doesn't say all have sinned and lied. It says we all want by nature what's best for us. And we are naturally going to try to steal and take glory from God. What has come short of the glory of God? It's me putting me in a little bit of all the good that, and saying, look what I did. It's the attitude of, look what I did, God. And, hey, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And everybody's fallen short of that. Because pride is the root problem. And by nature, it's just all about me. And that and the counsel of the Lord flies in the face of human nature. So I can go through life and have these things happen to me and come up with these final thoughts and just say, well, I guess this is the way it is. And if it doesn't line up with the counsel of the Lord, I need to get right with God and submit to it and let the counsel of God work and get massaged into my heart. I was reading one of the abuse books over there this morning and just glancing through, and I'll just be real vague and generalize everything. A certain individual had grown up with certain understandings about a delicate aspect of life. And for years and years and years, they just thought this was this way, and they had trouble with a very important relationship in life. And for all those years, they thought it was this way. And then the counsel of the Lord came. And it's just, oh, and by the way, as a believer in Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, there's going to be times when the logic, there's logic by humanity and your human reasoning. It may make sense, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can receive the right thing. You receive the truth of something, and it might be even a little bit more difficult. But it seems like the Holy Spirit won't let you settle down unless you take the truth of the Word of God. It's a really interesting thing when you're faced with something like that. But taking the counsel of the Lord. And there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So let me give you some encouraging things about the counsel of the Lord. We all have things happen to us, and you might be sitting here with a wrestling with some thoughts in your heart and mind, and we all have our struggles and so forth, and perhaps have learned some truth through coming to church, Sunday school, and reading the Bible on our own. None of us have arrived, and we're all under construction, and I really appreciate church, and I'll get into that in a little bit here, but let me just give you some encouraging things about the counsel of the Lord. I must learn the counsel of the Lord and choose it by faith on a daily basis. I have to choose to accept it by faith. And, it might make sense or feel better for your emotions maybe in certain ways according to logic, human logic. But as a born-again believer, we go by faith. And it's not that we don't respond. There may be some doubt and some faith inside of our heart struggling, but we choose the faith. I choose to believe God. I don't understand this aspect, God, but I believe you. I believe your word. The Bible says in 1 John 3:20, I believe it. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. God has never let me down. And I begin to think things like, Where was I when God created the universe, like it says in Job? I start to think in my personal life, where was I? Am I going to look at God and say, I have 37 years, and I'm going to shake my fist at you and point at you and say, you made a mistake in this area? Now, God's big enough to work with his child, but those are personal conversations, and I have to settle down and say, God, by your grace, would you just work me through this? Would you be patient with me? Because you're in control, and I choose by faith that you know what you're doing. You know what's best, and you don't need somebody who thinks he knows something at age 37 about anything about life and say, it should have been this way. I would love to prove to God before I die that he can look down and say, oh, when it gets hard and the pressure's on, I can trust him. Think about that concept. Trusting Jesus for heaven, of course, but wouldn't it be a blessing, father-son, father-daughter relationship, for dad in heaven to look down and say, there's responsibility coming, and I want you to know I can trust him. When the pressure comes, I can trust him. We can't give in to our emotions. So I must learn that the counsel, Lord. I got to find out what it is in my situation, and every day keep reading the counsel of the Lord and choose it by faith on a daily basis. Next, when I stand before God, the devices of my heart will not matter, but the counsel of the Lord will, and that shall stand. I want to be trusting in the counsel of the Lord. And last, as far as this little section goes, when I choose the counsel of the Lord, I receive stability in my heart, knowing that it is the right thing. So I see here something that doesn't change, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So I read a promise in the Bible, I go about my daily life, and we can pick them, and you can pick them on a daily basis, write them down, write them on a 3x5 card, and you hold to them and say, God, this is the truth we're going with. Pick a subject, read it, and go forward. Let me give you some examples of different devices here in our heart. Think about this. Someone might say, the Bible doesn't make sense to me, so I'm going to quit reading it. Okay, there's the device. Now, what's the counsel? Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what do I pick? So my heart comes up with this idea. I just can't understand it. It's just too hard. I just don't want to. First of all, make sure you're saved. Secondly, hey, keep reading. I want to delight in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. I trust the counsel of the Lord. So what am I going to do as a born-again believer? God, I'm not sure I understand this, but I'm going to keep reading and see what you do with it in the long run. Do you ever go through a hard time and then you face a situation, the Holy Spirit brings a verse that you never remembered reading, but he brings it up to your heart and mind? And oh, that's pretty good. Where did I get that? You don't remember. You just went about your business, you did what you're supposed to do, and the Word of God made a foundation and a bedrock. It's like building, it's like concrete in your heart that you stand on, and you keep standing on that foundation and investing in that foundation, and it's a firm foundation, and it doesn't change. I don't know where I'd be without the Word of God. I don't know where I'd be. I don't know how to start the day anymore without reaching for a Bible in some direction and getting a verse before I go into FedEx, or putting a 3x5 card on my forklift, at least just glancing at it. Sometimes it calms me down just to know that there's some words of God up there on my forklift. I could just take a glance at it, and sometimes it didn't really jump out at me at the day, but I just grab something and write something from the Bible on so I could just take a look at it. Sometimes I put it in my pocket on a 3x5 card so I can have it close to my heart, and I just like to keep it there because it's God's word. I don't know how to go about the day without the Bible. And that's not a proud spiritual statement. It's I got to hang on to something God said, because what God said doesn't change. What's another device? Well, why should I go to church? I can watch a service from home. You know, the word church means a called out assembly. Okay, there's the device. Now, what's the counsel? Hebrews 10, 23 and 25, Bible talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they were all in one accord in one place. Acts chapter 7, verse 38, talks about the church in the wilderness. They were called out of Egypt. They assembled in the wilderness. Okay, you know, God has a game plan about church. He wants us to gather together. We need each other. We need to be encourage one another. We got to help one another and be someplace, a called out assembly. God's entitled to his opinion. And as a sensitive, committed believer, you and I need to submit to that counsel and say, hey, in my heart, that I've come up with in my device, in my head, in my heart, I don't need to go to church to get, you know, it's you're going to be like a chunk of coal, like charcoal. If you go off by itself, it's going to get cold and burn out. But when the charcoal gets together, the fire's lit and it stays warm. Don't get in your mind this idea that, well, I can make it by just going to read my Bible by the ocean and everything's going to be okay. No, you need to make a decision about God's plan about church and be there and find out what God has for you. Submit to God's plan about the local church and be there. Many devices in the heart of man, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What's another device? I tried praying, it doesn't work. There's a device. It's a reasonable, understandable concept in the heart of natural man. Well, what's the counsel? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Those three words can change a prayer life. Three words in the Bible can change a prayer life. What does that mean? Don't quit believing God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And don't be in a position to hinder your prayer time any time or any place. So that those three words dictate how I steward my life. So I steward it in such a way that I do nothing or am engaged in nothing that would hinder God from dipping his ear down and saying, what do you need? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 18. So I organize my life in such a way that I know God's always ready to listen, and in such a way where I'm always believing that God can do anything and do what he says. Pray without ceasing. Three words. Three, that's the counsel. I tried praying. Keep going back. Try it for 60 years. Think about this. The Bible says their works do follow them. What if every prayer you're hoping to get answered gets answered when you step into heaven on this? But you didn't know it because it's by faith. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God said pray without ceasing. I don't know how he's going to answer it, when he's going to answer it. But I believe in the credibility of Jesus Christ. He's going to do it in his time. He's not going to do it based on my wristwatch. Matthew 6, 6, when ye pray, God expects his kids to pray. When ye pray. John 5, 14 through 15 talks about confidence in God. Confidence that he hears me, not that I get what I think I want. My confidence in prayer is knowing that he hears me. We ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Romans 8 tells us we don't know what we're supposed to pray for anyway. There's a passage in there that talks about Jesus and the Holy Spirit working to interpret what I say the correct thing to God the Father. Groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I could fall on my face with my heart so heavy and groaning comes out. It gets interpreted right to God. You ever been so heavy in prayer you don't look up? There's passages in Psalms. I'm so heavy, I'm so down, I'm so heavy, I'm ashamed to look up. Broken over your sin? Heavy about life? That's too analytical. There are some things in Christianity you need to analyze. You know, we don't have to go around trying to be God and trying to figure out everything and take away, trying to be sovereign like him. But we also don't need to walk around with our head in the sand and be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You gotta find that, balance and get there and say, God, this is out of my realm, and you take it. I'm trusting you. But hey, God gave you a mind. Make some intelligent biblical decisions and organize life. What a great Sunday school lesson and message this morning. Really good. Another device. I don't need God yet. Nothing bad's going on in my life. Lady told me that. On Rollins Avenue, I went to go get my mail, gave the lady a track. I don't need God, nothing bad happened yet.
Oh, boy.
Never heard that one before. Wow. Okay, that's a device. What's the counsel? John 15, 5, without me, you can do nothing. Can't read our Bible, can't pray, do nothing. Here's another one. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand. Why? What's going on? I quit. What's the counsel? Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. You know, there are some things I'm learning. I don't have to know everything God's going to do that's good in my life, and I don't have to know why all the bad happens. I'm attracted to that verse about why did God say, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then it kind of hit me. There's some verses in Ecclesiastes, be not righteous over much. Why should thou destroy thyself before the time? And talks about evil not being over. And you know what? The Bible tells me to be simple concerning evil. And you know, I need to be thankful and not try to do God's job for him. I don't want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why not? Listen, I need you to trust me. You don't need to know why everything is working in a way that it's working. I know all the good and I know all the evil. I'm God. You be a dedicated child, be a dedicated servant, and trust me when you don't understand. Stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Make a statement, God is more interested in my faith than my understanding. Why did this happen? I don't know. Can you trust me? We were watching something the other day, and it was fine watching it with the kids, and I saw it when I was a child, and I didn't remember everything about it, and I said, if there's anything on here that I hear that I don't like, or if I see something that I don't like, I'm turning it off, and that's it. Because I see things you don't see, and you need to trust me. You okay with that before we start? Oh, yeah, Dad, yeah, good. Hit it. And there was nothing really bad, but it was something that I just didn't want to, I didn't want to see, and didn't want it around, didn't want to look at it, didn't felt it necessary to watch that. So I turned it off, and one of the kids said, "Well, he probably saw something we didn't see." And I thought, you know, I want to look at my Heavenly Father and say, you know, I don't understand everything, but if you see something I don't see, help me trust you. If we knew all the good God wanted to do in our life, we might run the other way. If God unloaded the truck of truth of all the stuff he wants to do in our life, we might run the opposite direction. He gives it to us, we can take it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Bottom line, we're to trust in the sovereignty of God in the good times and in the bad. Let's skip down here a little bit. Look at Jeremiah 1. How can we as believers become established in the counsel of the Lord? Two things, and we'll wrap it up here. Just give me a few more minutes. Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1. I really like this. I love Jeremiah. This is a great, great passage. I think we can identify with what's said here. Jeremiah 1. And verse. So here's a preacher to the southern kingdom of Judah, called as a young man, preached roughly over 40 years, sent to preach the word. Amen. So here's a preacher sent to preach. And here's what he said. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to do what? To root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So what does God use to root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant? Preaching. What's a practical thing we can do to be established in the counsel of the Lord? Listen to preaching. He sent a preacher to preach the word to him. You know, to root out those devices, to pull down devices, to destroy those devices, to throw down, and to build and to plant. Build. I want the truth planted in my heart on, pick a subject. Pick a subject. If I come to church and I'm anxious and I'm praying and I'm anxious to hear and anxious to learn what God says on the subject, I want to be hanging on the edge of my seat and I want to learn. I want to be built and rooted in the counsel of the Lord. And think about this. Different ways we could talk about how to get the most out of a church service. Move up front. Turn your cell phones off. Use a Bible in page form, not technology. Look at, I don't have enough character to look at a, I just want to throw this out there, especially for the young people maybe. It's just practical that you have all those distractions to the right and left. It should be just focused on the Word of God. Not against looking at a Bible on a cell phone, but I want young people, I want you to be conscious of these things that could invade and take away from you getting rooted in the counsel of the Lord. It's not an old-fashioned thing. It's not an independent fundamental Baptist thing necessarily. It's well, that's the church that makes you use a Bible with pages. No, it's for your benefit, for your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of the issues of life, you've got to guard your heart. And to sit in church to look at just the Bible with only having the words in front of you, think of how much better that is to get something from a church service than to look at it on the, where those distractions are in our mind that we can get distracted from it. It's not a statement of coming down on anybody. It's a statement of, here, friend, let me help you what I've learned. I know there's things in here that only me and God know about that God's still working on, but hey, I've learned something. I can look at a Bible that just has the Bible and make sure I get all I can from it. I can submit to the truth of the Word. Trust in God to work. Ask the Holy Spirit. We still believe in the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit to do a work in our heart during a church service. We can pray and make commitments at the altar. What else can we do? Simply this. We know these things. Come to church, and let me just say the obvious one. Read the Word every day. Look at Psalm chapter 1, five steps to prosperity and stability centered in the counsel of the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, please. Great chapter. Five steps to prosperity and stability centered on the counsel of the Lord. I hope we know why we believe what we believe. We can look in a Bible, point to a verse, point to a principle, not relying on, if you believe something because a preacher says it, that's a bad reason to believe it. Look in the Bible and find it out yourself. This, the word of God shall stand, the counsel of the Lord. Famous passage, but look, five things. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted. We'll stop right there. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That eliminates a lot of educational places. Not popular. But what's number four? Delight in the law of the Lord. Five, meditate. Meditate in it day and night. Chew on it. Think about it. Make it personal. Let it convict you. Let it bother you. If it's contrary to the device in your heart, have that wrestling match with God. Confront God, not confront God in a bad way. Show yourself to God and come to him and open your heart and say, God, I am rooted in this mindset. You say this is the way. You've got to uproot this. You've got to help me accept this in my heart. Please do it. Delight in the law of the Lord, meditate day and night. Look at that statement of stability. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Let me give you some final conclusions, and we'll be done. Consider the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, 11 and 15. The books were opened. John 12, 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Acts 4, 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Take that and take a look at, don't turn there, but think about this verse, Psalm 138, verse 2. Bible says that the last statement, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So one name whereby we get to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I've magnified my word above all my name. The word, the counsel of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus used the word for victory over severe temptation. I'm working on a missions message over in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, the greatest missionary. And, you know, Jesus went to these two cities in this region of Galilee, I believe, and the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And he went out and reached people, and he built his team. He called Peter, James, and John to him. But before all that happened, he was severely tried in the wilderness. And the answer that he gave was, it is written. It is written. Maybe before great influence in life and ministry opportunity and opportunity that God brings you, listen, there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to have to get real honest with God and really find out what you believe about the Bible. He's going to bring you, this led by the Spirit of God, into the wilderness. And his answer was, it is written. He attacked his credibility as the Son of God. He knew he was hungry, so he said, here, make these stones bread. As a human being, I have a carnal nature that I'm going to have to acknowledge. And when it gets severely tested to give into that carnal nature, I have to be able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to fall on my face and get as personal as I need to get with God and say, it is written. Then he went to go minister. You know what I take from that? I may get my heart cut open because my flesh wants to do this, but by the power of the Holy Spirit say, no, as written. You know, Jesus was exhausted. Angels came minister to him. Maybe an exhausting time before victory in ministry comes. There are many devices in a man's heart. Many. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Would you bow your heads, please? Have you trusted in what God said about how to get to heaven? You know, you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Going to heaven is a heart trust in Jesus Christ, who paid for all your sins. It's not religious. It's not trying to keep up a church schedule and hope it weighs out in the end. It's a heart belief in Jesus Christ. Have you trusted in the counsel of the Lord instead of any other device that would pull you otherwise? If you know you're saved here, would you raise your hand by way of testimony? Yes, Brother Brent, I know I'm saved. Thank you so much. Put your hands down. And secondly, what device do you need to exchange for the counsel of the Lord? What have you always thought was a certain way based on your experience? Maybe you're living day to day, not budging. You're not going to budge. This is the way I do it. This is what I think is important. This is the way I see it. This is what happened in my life. Does it line up to the counsel of the Lord? You know, maybe you can't say, okay, I'll exchange it now. Could you ask God to loosen your grip on the way you think it is? Would you ask God to loosen your grip? Maybe you can't let it go, but you can say, God, would you just, I need this gone. Just help me work through this, loosen it up. I need your counsel on this matter. What device do you need to exchange for the counsel of the Lord? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand as the piano plays. We'll have a brief invitation.
You can continue praying at the altar. If you're not at the altar, you can sing this if you know it, All to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Wasn't that a blessing? That was powerful and good stuff. I was going to preach that exact message this Sunday morning. I can't believe he stole that from me. But no, I tell you what, that's a verse that you ought to decide to memorize this week, write it down, and it ought to just become a part of you, just become a part of your thinking from here on out. If Jesus doesn't come back a decade from now, you ought to be able to still be guided by this truth. Let's not rely upon our own devices, our own thoughts, our own conclusions. It's the counsel of the Lord that matters. That was a blessing. And that was even pastoral. I mean, that was just like, oh. And no, that was wonderful. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you and for walking with Him. I've been so pleased with Brent and Jenny over the years they've been here, and just have seen such growth that God's been doing in them, and I'm just so proud of both of you and your sweet family, and we sure do love you and appreciate you. Praying for you this week. And that was good. I'm going to memorize that one. I've got it pretty much down, but it's far back in the hard drive, so I'm going to bring it back up to the front and keep that one on the front burner. That's a good one to use in counseling. It's a good one to use with the children. It's a good one to use all over the place, and praise the Lord for that. That's why I recommend you read a proverb a day. Imagine how much good stuff in Proverbs we're missing. And there's one little thing that will truly change your life. I like one thing he said, God is more interested in my faith than my understanding. Isn't that good? We spend so much time trying to figure out why that we don't do it. And biblically, understanding comes after obedience. We obey, then we understand. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, it's been a good day, hasn't it? Soul saved, folks